I just heard, how many of you have ever read 1 Corinthians 13? Everyone's familiar with that. It's called the love chapter, right? So I heard it in this translation that's called the Passion Translation. Have you ever heard of the Passion Translation? Listen, I want to read the first few verses out of the love chapter from the Passion Translation. This is the love chapter, okay? And Paul writes, "If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect." I love that. "Love does not selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving." Isn't that good? I love that. That's 1 Corinthians 13, the first seven verses, the Passion Translation. So when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, what did he say? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So love is pretty high on God's list of priorities, right? And here in the love chapter, we get a glimpse of what love doesn't look like and what it does look like. And God doesn't love just because he thinks it's the right thing to do or the good thing to do. We read in Scripture, in 1 John, it says that God is love. It's God's identity to love. It's his nature to love. It's who he is, and so it's what he does, right? And as we're followers of Jesus, who was the perfect representation of God the Father, we will also look like that because that's our identity. We're the sons and daughters of love. Isn't that good? We're the sons and daughters of love. And so our identity is that of love. It's not just a good idea that we came up with and say, hey, we should love everybody. We should love God and we should love our neighbor. No, it's who we are. And because it's who we are, it's what we do. We manifest love in our lives because it's our identity. Now, I got to be honest with you. When it comes to my, if I can put it this way, my love life, how I respond to love from God the Father, how I give love to others, my love life, if I can put it that way, I know that I have not arrived. Have you? Have you arrived in your love life in the context of what we're talking about this morning? I haven't arrived, but I can say this. I'm further along in my love life than I was 25 years ago. I'm further along than I was 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10. I'm further along. I haven't arrived. I'm up front with you, laying my cards on the table. Have not arrived, but by the grace of God, I'm further along now than I have been in the past. And with that, I also realize that there's a lot more for me to experience in the context of love. There's more of God's perfect love that I can experience. There's more revelation, I believe, that he wants to give me of the depths and the power of his perfect love that casts out all fear. I'm not where I was back here, but by the grace of God, I'm not going to stay here either. I'm going to keep going and experience the more that God wants me to experience in his perfect love. Both receiving his love and then giving away what I freely receive from him. There's so much more for me and for all of us to experience. Amen? When it comes to love. Whoop, whoop. That's right. And I believe that there's more beyond his perfect love. That's a pretty good starting place, but there's more beyond his love for us to experience. There's more of his presence. There's more of his anointing that breaks every yoke of oppression. There's more of his healing to manifest in our lives, for us personally and for us to lay hands on somebody and to see them healed. There's more for us to experience in our relationship with God. And so that's what I want to talk about briefly this morning, is that God has more for you to step into. Step into the more that God has for you. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4? God has more for us to step into. Before we take a look at Jesus' journey of stepping into the more that God had for him at this point in his life, let's think for a second about whenever the disciples, his disciples, asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Remember that? Teach us how to pray, Lord. And he taught them what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he said this little line, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe there's more for us, because I don't know about you, but I'm not completely seeing on earth in my life as it is in heaven manifesting 24/7. I'm not seeing that all the time. Again, as with love, I'm seeing more manifest now in my life than years ago. I'm seeing more of in my life as it is in heaven. And I'm appreciative for that, and I'm thankful for that, but I want to contend for more of that, because I believe God has more for us. I mean, unless your shadow is healing the sick, there's more for all of us, right? And that's not being critical of any of us. It's just, can we take an honest look at where we are? And can we realize that God has so much more in store for us? I believe that he does. On earth, as it is in heaven, I want to see that more and more manifesting in my life. I want to see that more and more manifesting in this house, manifesting in this community, manifesting in our country and worldwide. On earth as it is in heaven. There's more for us to contend for. Amen? So we're here in Matthew chapter 4. And I just want to take a look, just a glimpse, at how Jesus was able to step into the more that God had for him. Are y'all there? Matthew 4. Now this is right after Jesus has fasted 40 days and nights. He's been tempted by the enemy. And coming out of that is where we pick it up here in verse 12. It says, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And finally in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, we thank you that you have more for us to experience in our relationship with you, in our relationship within our family, in our relationships within this house, within this community. Thank you that you have more for us to experience. And Father, I pray that you would help for our hearts to be pliable, to be soft in your hands, Master Potter, and that you would shape us into the vessels that you want us to be. That if we're apprehensive, if we're fearful of what you might do in our lives, that your perfect love would turn our no into a yes. And that we would allow you to have free rule and reign in our hearts, and that you would be able to accomplish the more that you want to in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking here at Jesus and kind of this process that Jesus went through. It says there in verse 12, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison. Remember, this is Jesus who said, I only say those things I hear my Father say. I only do those things I see my Father do. This is Jesus who was connected with his Heavenly Father. He didn't just go off willy-nilly and just randomly, whatever I feel like doing today. No, he was a man on a mission. He was a man with vision. He was a man with purpose. He was a man that was connected to his Heavenly Father. And as he heard and saw his Father say and do, he said and did likewise, right? And so when it says that Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, that meant something, I believe, to Jesus. Perhaps God the Father had been stirring this in Jesus' heart for a while, that Jesus, I'm going to send you from this place to this place. And the sign that I'm going to give you that the timing is now to do that will be when you see John is put in prison. Just speculation on my part. But the point is that when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, when he heard that, that meant something to him. Right? That wasn't, oh, Ryan had Cinnamon Toast Crunch for breakfast this morning. It wasn't on that level. Jesus heard that John had been put in prison. This was on a higher level. This meant something to Jesus because he's in close communication with the Father. What are the things that we're hearing from God the Father? What are the heads-ups that he's giving us? When you see this happen, I want you to do this. When you see this happen, it's time to move into this. What are we seeing and hearing from the Father that means something in our relationship with God? Jesus perfectly models this for us. When he heard that John was in prison, it meant something. And God wants to relate to us that way as well. So he heard that John had been put in prison, and when he heard that, the end of verse 12, he departed to Galilee. He heard something that meant something to him, and immediately he took action. He departed. He was obedient to what God was asking him to do. We just heard Pastor Steve recently share how Jesus said, I'll know you love me if you keep my commandments, right? I'll know you're my friend if you keep my commandments. If you're obedient to what I ask you to do, that'll express love to me. And Jesus perfectly did that with God the Father. When he heard that John was in prison, boom, he took action, he departed. And he was leaving a place that was very familiar to him. He was accustomed to this place where he was geographically. Nevertheless, when the Father bid him to depart and go someplace else, Jesus was obedient to what he heard the Father ask him to do. Do we have that same obedience whenever God asks us to do something? Again, and it's not that, you know, we have a checklist, and if we check all the things off the list, well, I mean, do you have a checklist with your spouse? And if they check all the things off the list, well, then they love me. That's crazy. It's because we have a love relationship that we want to be a blessing to each other, that we want to do things for each other. It's based out of love. And so it was with Jesus. Based on his love relationship with the Father, when the Father spoke to him, he was quick to be obedient. Jesus perfectly models that for us. Are we obedient whenever God asks us to do something? Verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, leaving the place that was very familiar to him, leaving the place that he was accustomed to, leaving the place where he had been for a long time, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. He didn't just partway obey what the Father had asked him to do. He didn't just leave and never arrive at the destination. It wasn't a halfway thing with Jesus. He was obedient all the way to the end. He didn't start and then say, you know, I'd really rather be at home. I think I'll go back. He didn't do that, did he? He went to the destination again so that he could step into the more that God had for him. He didn't start and then stop. He didn't start say, gosh, I'm homesick. I'm going to go home. He didn't start and say, oh, this is too different. This is too new. This isn't what I'm used to. I'm going to go back to what's familiar. I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to what I'm accustomed to. He didn't do that. He was obedient and saw it through to the end. He not only departed, but then he came and dwelt in this new place. You know, in Jesus' situation, what we're looking at this morning, it was a geographical move, right? He went from this place and moved over to this place geographically in order for him to step into the more that God had for him. Now, I don't know that God is asking many of us today to move from one geographical place to another geographical place. Sometimes he does do that, definitely. I mean, missionaries are called to the mission field and they're called to a different geographical place. But does God ask us to leave a certain way of thinking, a certain mindset that we're very accustomed to, that we're very used to? Does he ask us to leave that way of thinking and come to a new place that's different, that we're not used to? Has anyone experienced that in their relationship with God? I mean, Tanya so beautifully shared the life that she was used to, the home life she was used to, the bouncing around from foster home, the instability that she was used to, and the results of that. And whenever she met Jesus, he asked her to change that way of thinking and to come to this new place that's so much better. Amen? God will ask us to leave old mindsets, things that are familiar, and go to someplace else so that we can step into the more that he has for us. Turn to Luke chapter 6 real quick. So let's just look at an example here. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, just consider this for a second. A person who grows up in a family that has a, we'll call it a poverty mindset. Would that be challenging to hear Jesus say those words, give? Because what's the person with the poverty mindset thinking? We never have enough. We have to scratch and claw for everything that we have. I have to be a little dishonest and kind of swipe what I can because I'm not going to have enough. The end of the month is going to come and we're going to be eating, you know, spaghetti again for the umpteenth time because we never have enough. And the person that has a poverty mindset, in order for them to step into the more that God has for them, they're going to have to leave that familiar way of thinking behind and step into, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I didn't leave a geographical place and come to another geographical place, but in my mind, I'm miles away from where I was before. Amen? I need to leave that place and come to this kingdom way of thinking if I ever hope to step into the more that God has for us. Because if I have a poverty mindset and the Lord says to me, Kurt, I want you to give $100 to that missionary, what's my first response going to be? I can't. I don't have it to give. There's no way I could do that. My kids are going to go hungry. I won't be able to pay the mortgage. I can't pay the car insurance. I'll come up with a million reasons why I can't do that unless I leave that place and step into a new place that's in agreement with God's truth about my situation. Give, and it'll come back to you. You sow, you're going to reap from that. Now, is this a little scary, what I'm talking about? Sure. If that's the only way I've thought about finances for 52 years, that's going to be darn scary to consider what Jesus is asking me to do. But if I want to step into the more, I need to be bold enough. I need to ask God for the courage to help me to go from this mindset to his mindset. If I do ask him for help, will he turn his back on me? No. He'll say, my son, I will walk you from this place to that place, and I'll help you to step in the more that I have for you. Who believes that about our Heavenly Father? Amen. Amen. He's a good, good Father. So going back to Matthew chapter 4, so far Jesus has heard, he has departed, he came, and he dwelt. Let me just mention that in doing so, he fulfilled prophecy. He fulfilled what the Lord spoke prophetically a long time before Jesus ever was on the scene. What is the importance we're placing on the prophetic in our lives? You know, we just had an amazing prophecy class earlier this year, and we had, you know, awesome people that came out for that. Here's two right in the front row that came out for it. And we placed an importance on the word of the Lord in that class. And none of us have arrived in that area, but we're contending for more in the area of the prophetic. Because God speaks to his children still today through the prophetic. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Who could use some of that? Yeah. Who'd like to give some of that to people you come in contact with on a regular basis? Let's place a high value on the prophetic in our lives. Why? Because Jesus did. If we're followers of Christ, won't we do what he did? He placed a high value on the prophetic. And then in verse 17, I'm going to wrap things up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he heard, he departed, he came, and he dwelt in this new place, And then he began to preach and to say. He begins to now impart to others what God the Father has spoken to him in his prayer closet. The things that God the Father downloaded to Jesus in the secret place, now he's freely received and he's freely giving to others. He's stepping into the more that God had for him. Does he step into the more if he never hears? It's so important for us to hear. He never steps into the more if he's not obedient and takes action, departs. Are we being obedient? He never steps into the more if he does it halfway and then quits. Let's be steadfast. Let's be faithful. Walk it out until we know we've been totally obedient to what God's asked us to do. And then as we freely receive from God, are we freely giving to others what he's downloaded to us in the secret place? That's stepping into the more that God has for us. You know, there were some examples of people that couldn't, or wouldn't, is probably a better term to use, step into the more that God had for them. Think of the rich young ruler. Jesus challenged this young man with a difficult challenge. Said he had great possessions. And Jesus said, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And it says the rich young ruler walked away sad because he had great possessions. He heard. He didn't have a problem hearing what Jesus was asking him to do, but he never departed. He never left what he was used to. You know, the word says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There were the Pharisees who stood toe-to-toe with Jesus. Listen to this. The Pharisees looked into the eyes of the Son of Love and couldn't see him for who he was. Why? Because they were never willing to consider anything other than our traditions. This is the way we've always done it. He's not doing it right. They were never willing to consider the word of the Lord. So there were those that couldn't or wouldn't step into the more that God had for them. But then there was Peter, who stepped out of the boat. And Peter stepped into the more that Jesus had for him. Was it fearful for Peter to do that? Will it probably be fearful for us at times to step into the more? But out of all the disciples, who was the only one that said, I walked on water with Jesus? Because he was willing to hear and to depart, come and dwell. And he stepped into the more that God had for him. You know, my wife is a great example of what I'm sharing today. And I'll close with this. She, whenever the pandemic first started, the Lord was really speaking to her through some verses. And she got a hold of this. And it's my buddy Steve Grove down in Chambersburg. He's got me on a group text, so this thing's going to be dinging all morning long. So the Lord downloaded some stuff to her. She got a hold of some verses that really impacted her. She heard what God was saying to her. And it had to deal with some really core issues that dealt with her identity and how she lives her life. And she wanted to depart where she was, what she was used to, what was familiar to her, to go to this new place that the Lord was inviting her to come into. And so she shared these verses with some trusted friends and said, hey, would you be praying for me about this? Would you keep me accountable in this area? Because God's really shown me something, and I want to leave there so I can come into here and step into the more that God has for me. Now, she maybe didn't put it that way, but that's essentially what she was saying. And so these friends were faithful to encourage her when she needed encouragement, to help her to walk in the more that God had for her. And this has been, you know, we're a couple months into this process, and I've seen a higher level of freedom in my wife. I've seen more security. I've seen more confidence. Now, are there times where she has a rough day and is calling her friend, hey, could you pray for me? Yeah, we all have those days. But she's made a conscious decision to intentionally step into the more that God has for her life. That's not only going to affect her, that's going to affect our family. That's going to affect this church. That's going to affect her workplace as she steps into the more that God has for her. So I'm proud of you, hon. Okay, I'm going to end on that because I want to spend some time briefly doing just some prayer. And then I want us to kind of sit in this for just a moment and allow the Lord to speak to our hearts. And I have a worship song that we're going to end with as well. But I've asked a couple of people if they would first pray into this idea of us as a house stepping into the more that God has for us. And so Marty, if you and Mike would come up here, I'm going to hand this mic off to you. And if you guys would just pray over this word of us here at CLCC stepping into the more that God has for us, I'd love for you to do that. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. Good thinking. And then, which mic should Mike use? Which? Sure. Is there? Oh, okay. Sure. Oh.
Two things Holy Spirit was nudging me about earlier this morning in 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So in wanting more love, more power, more of Him in my life, in your life, in order to affect the community, we spend time in His presence. We spend time seeking His heart and seizing every opportunity. And that's what I want to pray about this morning, how we seize that opportunity corporately. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is your heart. It is your heart to unravel each step that you want us to take to enlarge, advance your kingdom right here, right now. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to speak to our hearts in the quiet place as well as in the corporate assembly, how we can move with you to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see souls saved, lives healed, chains broken, direction given, and hearts that are pliable and soft. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, make my heart soft. Make my ears to hear and my eyes to see, so that your power is released in me, in us, and through us, so that we see this community touched by the power of God and changed in Jesus' name.
The Lord, just standing up here has quickened my favorite verse that I think is ties in so well is 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Pastor Kurt spoke this morning about the more. This is something that God doesn't want to do. This is something he's already done. He's already done this in each and every one of us that have said that Jesus is Lord. He's done it on the inside. We get a little sick at times and don't get in agreement with what God has done, and we say, well, we're not there yet. Well, that's really not me. That's not in me yet. But it is. If Jesus Christ resides in you, hey, the battle has been won. The victory is yours. The more is waiting on your response, not God's response. So I'd like to pray into that. Father, the more that you have placed in us, Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands your word, your will, and your way. Father, that we would totally get it. That we would lay our trust on you. The cares we would lay on the altar, and we would say and declare, the more is mine, the more is sure, and I am sure that the more is in me. So, Father, we just bless the word that has been spoken this morning. We bless what you have done, and Lord, what now that you desire to do even more in us, that through this week we will see changes, maybe not in others, but we will see changes in us, that we will encounter the more through the mighty, mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.